Hello, hello.
That's better. Thank you.
Amen. Good afternoon. Well, almost. It's just about still good morning. And welcome again to the sermon part of our service. And this is the last installment of our Hebrews classes that we've been teaching over the last few weeks and months. And we've got to Hebrews 13. So at this point, I'd just like to pray for the message. Please bow your heads and we'll pray. Great Heavenly Father, thank you, God, so much for your word. For all the words that were written down many centuries ago, God, that we now have in our hands. Thank you for the letter that the Hebrew writer, who we don't know who it was, God, but for that person that wrote this incredible letter, that we can now draw on, God, and learn so much from, God. Thank you for preserving it over the centuries so that we can have it right now, God. Help us to open our hearts and our minds to your words, God, and tell us what you want us to hear, God. God, I pray, God, that we can all allow you into our hearts today, God. It's in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, of course, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 13. Now, question. Have you ever forgotten something very important? All the time, Herbert. Anybody else? Has anybody ever forgotten something? An object? Or perhaps an anniversary? Or a... Jackie? So you left your... Uh-oh, she left her son in the car. That's a big thing to forget. Entnecker. No! Okay, is she okay now? Okay. Okay, Enno. As a teacher. Enno left a child in her classroom. Oh no. Oh my goodness. Okay. Honey pie.
I remember going to a midweek and I locked the keys in the front door and we'd gone to midweek for a couple of hours, came back, our front door key was hanging.
Oh, that's a common mistake. Right over at the back there. Davis. Your lunch. Well, I once left, I borrowed a rice cooker off a sister in the church called Fern, and I borrowed it for a family group meeting many years ago, and I was carrying a lot of stuff, and I remember I was on this bus, and I couldn't hold everything together, so I left the rice cooker on the parcel shelf, you know, by the front door, and I was on the bus, and I was thinking, you know, the one thing I don't want to do is forget that rice cooker, because... Fern loved her rice cooker. You know, she's from Malaysia. She loved rice, and she loved her rice cooker. It was like her prized possession. I was like, I'm not going to forget this rice cooker. So I sat on the bus, and I said to myself, I cleared my mind of everything else, and I just said, rice cooker, rice cooker, rice cooker. Rice cooker, rice cooker, rice cooker. And I got off the bus saying, rice cooker, rice cooker. And I left it on the bus. And I felt so bad, and yes, I had to confess to our sister Fern, and yes, she got over it, and I had to try and find another rice cooker, which was really hard to find. There was a shortage of rice cookers for some reason, and I couldn't get one for about 2 or 3 weeks, so Fern was starving by the time she got her rice cooker back. But, you know, this is not a time of confession. We're talking about remembering today. Okay? Got 3 points from the book, from Hebrews 13. We've got remember to love is point one. Point two, remember your leaders And point three, remember to pray. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Amen. Are we all okay in here? Come on. It's definitely warmer today in the hall. Amen. It was in here earlier. I left it on the bus. Amen. Verse 1, Bible reads, "Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering." You know, verse 1 here, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. I think we could just stop right there. That's such a challenging scripture. You know, how are sibling relationships different from just friendships? What's the difference between your blood brothers and sisters and just friendships? What's some differences that we have? Aoife? That's right, yeah. You can't choose your blood brothers and sisters, can you? Okay, Yvonne. You have them for life. That's right. You can't get rid of them. You know, there's a big difference, isn't there, between your blood brothers and sisters and just friendships. It's like the difference between fellowship and just socializing. That's right. That we talked about earlier in the Hebrews classes. You know, it's on a deeper level. You know, we're called to be brothers and sisters, not just friends. I've only got one sister. I don't have any brothers, blood brothers, that is. And, you know, she lives over in Oxfordshire, and I don't see her every week. You know, she doesn't have the same beliefs as me. We don't have a huge amount in common, but she's my blood sister. And there's that automatic connection. I don't forget her birthday. I'm always just so glad to see her. You know, that's what the Bible's talking about. We need to be brothers and sisters. You know, church, how are your relationships in the body today with your brothers and sisters? Is there an automatic connection when you get together and a deep bonding love? You know, brotherly or sisterly love, the Greek term is Philadelphia. And it's quite emphasized by Paul as well, and also Peter. And it's emphasized here at the end of the letter, because it was talking about earlier that there were divisions within the church. You know, we should not have divisions in the church. We should be brothers and sisters. You know, earlier on in the classes, we were called to be holy brothers towards one another. And now, we are called to be loving brothers. You know, we've got to invest in our relationships. It takes time. We've got to spend time together. We've got to deny ourselves. You know, if we stop investing in time with one another and investing in our time with God, then our love grows cold. If you turn to Matthew 24,
come on, Tim.
I'm coming. Matthew 24, verse 12. The Bible reads, "Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold." You know, another translation for that is because of the increase of lawlessness. Okay, so we're coming away from what we should be doing, ignoring the law and becoming more wicked. If we do that, if we're not investing time, if we're not spending time with God, we will become more wicked. And in terms of our relationships, that can be, we can start just looking after ourselves, thinking about ourselves, looking after number one. That's what the world teaches. But as brothers and sisters, we need to put other people before our own needs. You know, in the world, selfishness is the standard. In the church, selflessness is the standard. You know, we looked at in Hebrews 10. Don't need to turn there. 10:25 says, "Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." We've got to encourage one another. You know, when was the last time you wrote a note to somebody to encourage them, even if it wasn't their birthday? You know, when was the last time you did something unexpected for someone? Cooked them a meal. You know, I know there is a lot of that going on. So if you're doing that already, then that point's not for you. But we've got to really invest in our relationships. You know, if we don't invest in our church relationships, we often feel like the church is unloving. Because we are not investing. We've got to invest to get back. You know, verse 2 says, get back in Hebrews 13, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." You know, I asked my kids in a family devo what this scripture meant. And in terms of entertaining strangers. And they said, "Does it mean going up to people in the streets and singing songs and showing them a few tricks?" Which is a great idea. And I think that might help to make the gospel attractive. But that's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about entertaining strangers, welcoming people into your homes. No, have you got a close circle of friends? Or are you widening your circle of friends? You know, how often do you invite someone new into your home that's never been there before? Someone that you don't know so well? You know, maybe, I mean, talking about here, a complete stranger. Have you ever walked down the road and invited someone that you've never even seen before and said, "Would you like to come to my house for dinner?" Has anybody done that? Wow. Wow, amen. Amen, round of applause. Whee! For Mrs. Akinloye over there, wow. Sorry? Briefly. Wow, that's awesome. Odelia. Amen. What a great example. You know, and I know many people in the church have had people through two-step on stopover, staying with them in their house. But, amen, Odelia. Hats off to you. You know, we don't have to cook people a three-course meal, necessarily, and have all the trimmings there and all the serviettes ironed and everything. You know, it might just be coming over for a cup of coffee. You know, just have a bit of cake or something. But, you know, we need to welcome people into our homes. You know, God has blessed us with homes. Sometimes we can forget what we have. We are so blessed to have a house to sleep in. There's many people in this city and around the world who don't even have a home. So God has blessed us with it. Let us use it to our best ability. You know, wouldn't it be great if you cooked a meal for a stranger and it turned out to be an angel? Wow. You may never know. Maybe you've had that already. But what would they say if an angel was to come to your home and they reported back to Jesus? That's an interesting food for thought there. Amen. Continuing on, verse 3, back in Hebrews 13. Amen. There we go. In verse 3, it says, continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. You know, we need to have empathy, something that we all need to grow in. You know, do you empathize with people when they're suffering? If they're going through difficult times, do you give them a wide berth? Or do you come close to them? You know, you might not have the answers. You might not have a clue how to really help them. But we can at least listen and go to where they're feeling, where their pain is, and talk to them. You know, let's empathize with one another. There's quite a few challenges here. Are we all okay?
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, we're going to talk about marriage now. Amen. Verse 4. Bible reads, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Marriage is a wonderful thing. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Amen. Especially over here. The new recruits. Amen. You know, marriage is a complete blessing from God. I love my wife Rosemary. You know, being married to her has changed my life, you know, in many, many ways. And absolutely, it's God's plan for us to help one another get to heaven, you know, to watch out for one another and to challenge one another. You know, we become different people almost when we get married. There's a character in the Bible called Boaz, who you may be familiar with. Do you know what Boaz was like before he got married? He was ruthless. Thank you, Sister Peju. And after he got married, he was ruthless no longer. But we need to respect marriage. You know, some people think that this passage here, they were talking about the laws on divorce were getting watered down, the teachings on divorce, and that there was a situation where people were allowing divorce for other reasons apart from adultery, so making it much easier for people just to get divorced. You know, marriage is a difficult thing. You know, we need to get advice. You know, it's great we're having the marriage retreat next weekend. It's come so quickly already. Amen. And there's going to be some great lessons there, some great things to really help our marriages and help us be more what we need to be as married couples. You know, do we think that have we arrived as a married couple? Do we not need advice anymore? No. You know, the one time you're not going to need advice is when you're dead.
That's right.
Until then, you're going to need advice.
Amen.
Amen. You know, how pure are we as married couples? Sometimes I think we can get into the mindset that after you're married, you don't have a struggle with purity. That's not true. As brothers and sisters, we've got to keep a high, high standard of purity in our marriages. You know, do we value purity? Purity is such an amazing, amazing thing. You know, we know we're valuing purity because we're confessing our temptations and not just waiting until we sin. Okay, we know that we're valuing marriage because we're thinking about our spouses and putting their needs ahead of ours. Okay? Amen. Verse 5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Wow. You know, he was a very successful lawyer in the States, and he just bought a brand new Lexus, and he parked it outside his office to show it off to his workmates. As he was opening the door to get out, a truck whizzed past and took the door clean off. The lawyer immediately grabbed his cell phone and dialed for the police. The police arrived there in a very few minutes. Before the policeman had a chance to ask any questions, the lawyer started screaming hysterically. He just picked up the Lexus the day before, and even if it could be fixed, it would never be the same again. So finally, he calmed down, and the policeman said to him in disgust and disbelief, "I can't believe how materialistic and how materialistic you lawyers are. You're focused on possessions and you don't notice anything else. How can you say such a thing?" The lawyer says. The policeman replied, "You didn't even notice that your arm has been severed off when the truck took your door." The lawyer replied, "Oh no, where's my Rolex?" We've got to get our hearts set on the right things.
Amen.
Pleasure, possessions, and popularity are all destructive when they become our masters. You know, God wants to bless us with things, but they shouldn't ever come before God. Amen. Does any of this apply to you today? Now, what's the most important thing in your life? Amen. We've got to remember to love.
Amen.
Love our brothers and sisters. Love God. Love marriage. Love purity. But not love money. Point number 2, remember your leaders. Continuing on in verse 7, the Bible reads, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." You know, for me, it was so great at Friend's House last week hearing Mike D'Souza share and preach about his life. Mike studied the Bible with me just a couple of years ago, or maybe a few more. But I remember when he studied the Bible with me, and I was so inspired by his convictions and his knowledge and his love and how that manifested itself in his life. I mean, he wasn't even married at that point, and even then, he was just such an inspiring guy. And to see, you know, how God has used him. He came from, I didn't even know about that you know, that he came from such a humble beginnings and a humble background, challenging background. And, you know, God has done amazing things through him. You know, when it says outcome, consider the outcome of their way of life. The Greek word is ekbasis, which means to go out, or to exit, or to escape. And the past tense of this verb may indicate that these people have died already. It could have been through being martyrs, but not necessarily the case. But even if they didn't die as martyrs, they left a legacy. You know, it says, consider the example, you know, their courage, their faith. You know, we mustn't forget those that have taught us, those that have been in our lives and have inspired us and encouraged us. And more importantly, don't forget the lessons that they have taught us over the years. We always need to go back to the basics. That's why studying the Bible with people always is so enriching to our lives. It's been so great to have the privilege of being in Terry Princewell's, for me, in his studies over the last few months. And just to see how he's responded to God's word. And now just to see the light in his eyes and how inspired he is. Amen. To get baptized and to become a Christian. You know, it's great to be there and to see his family. Tokes was getting, he was just, he was loving every minute of it. It was a fantastic occasion for those of you that couldn't be there. And what a great thing to have a brother who's only 14 years old. What a great time to become a Christian. Amen. Let's encourage our brother Terry. Amen. And I said to Yvonne, I know it's confusing. He's now, Yvonne is now his sister and his mother. But she's not allowed to go on a date with him. That's right, isn't it? No. That's right, amen. Amen. So if you're feeling a bit lackluster today, you need to study the Bible with somebody. Remind yourself of the basics of what a Christian is. Or even just get into a study. If you know someone's studying the Bible, get in there on the study. You know, verse 8. Let me just read. Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and today, and forever. Jesus is the only perfect leader. If you're looking for a perfect leader here on earth, you won't find one. Amen. He died yesterday to save. He lives today to intercede for us. And he lives forever to return and one day take us home. Amen. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, it will help us in many ways. As we read in verse 9, Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods, which are of no value to those who eat them. Amen. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. You know, fixing our eyes on Jesus helps to alert us to false teachings. If we're rooted in the words, we won't get distracted by all kinds of crazy teachings. You know, what false teachings are you tempted by today? Maybe there's something from your past. You know, a lot of us have had a religious upbringing. Is there some teaching that is in your past that you're tempted to go back and follow? Let's feed off Jesus and his grace and his teachings. Amen. In verse 11, The high priest carries the blood of the animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gates to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. All right, how many times do we think about heaven? About the city to come? You know, I don't think about it enough. But the Bible says that this is real. Heaven is a reality. You know, if we're thinking about heaven, it gets things in perspective for us. You know, verse 15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruits of lip that confess his name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Amen. You know, we've got to praise his name. We sacrifice not to get God's approval. We don't need to earn his approval. We need to please him. You know, Christians are characterized by their gratitude towards God. You know, Romans 1:21, unlike pagans, you know, we are set apart because of our gratitude towards God and how that shapes our lives. And if we're grateful, we'll be bold in telling other people. Let's share with others. Share with the people around us. And not just our words. We've got to share the things that we have. Are you generous to poor Christians around you? Do you resent the benevolence that we take up? And perhaps the way that it's distributed. You know, verse 17. And I'm trying not to say you know, because I know Rosemary told me last time that I mustn't say you know. So amen. I know I've been saying that. I won't say you know again. Obey your leaders. In verse 17. And submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. There's two parts to this. For the leaders, and many of us are leaders in one kind of capacity or another, we're accountable to God. Leaders are accountable to God. And more accountable than people that are not leading. That's a challenging thing, to know that you are accountable more than other people. And for those being led, our obedience is always first to God's word. And if we obey our leaders, it's in accordance with God's word. You know, we need to check the Bible to make sure that what's being preached is true, as we know. So there's a responsibility on leaders to preach, teach, and counsel. And there's a responsibility of those being led to put into practice what is being preached with humility and eagerness. So leaders, we've got to set an example. And those being led, we've got to submit to those that are leading to make it a joy for them. Amen. We've all got challenges, amen.
Come on, Tim.
Amen. You know, what can you do as a leader to make it easier for people to follow you today? What changes can you make? And what can you do as someone being led to make it easier for the people leading you today? Have a little think about that. Third point, final point. Remember to pray. In verse 18. We're nearly done. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, and that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We need to pray for people. We all have needs. Do people know what your needs are? We need to share what our weaknesses are so that other people can pray for us. You know, personally for me, I could do with a full-time job right now. And I know there's other people in the congregation that are looking for work. Do you know what the needs are around you? On one hand, we need to be having those conversations so we know what needs are. But also, we need to be open about what our needs are. Amen. But having asked for prayers, the Hebrew writer now prays for their needs with confidence that God will provide. When we pray, we've got to have confidence that God will provide. He will do it. Amen. In conclusion, you know, the book of Hebrews, if you read it out loud all the way through, it takes about an hour. And it is like a sermon itself. The writer, we don't know who it was, but they've written an incredible letter here, an incredible sermon. It's deep but clear, challenging but hopeful, realistic but visionary, practical but yet very spiritual. Which points in Hebrews throughout our classes have caught your attention? Let's pray about what God has taught us. Let's talk about with one another what God has taught you. And let's plan to put things into practice. And finally, let's praise God for what he has given us through the book of Hebrews and what he has taught us today. Amen. Thank you for listening.